O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the world and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on a cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art.
Friends, welcome to worship today. It is a beautiful fall day here in Qualicum Beach, and we are delighted that you can join us in it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in today's call to worship. People of God, look around and see the faces of those we know and love, neighbors and friends, sisters and brothers, a community of kindred hearts. People of God, look around and see the faces of those we hardly know, strangers, visitors, forgotten friends, the ones who need an outstretched hand. People of God, look around and see all the images of God assembled here, in me, in you, in each of us. God's Spirit shines for all to see. People of God, come, let us worship together. And as we do so, we light the Christ candle, remembering Jesus is at the center of that worship. It is all for him, all about him. Let's pray together. Wondrous God, you touch our lives with healing and with justice. New life is your gift. We praise you for the good news which is ours through Jesus Christ. May this time of worship nourish us with your promise of meaning and purpose. May we be empowered to carry your goodness into the coming week. We pray in Jesus' name, our source and Savior. Amen. Friends, please pray the prayer of confession with me. God forgives and heals us. We need your healing, merciful God. Give us true repentance. Some sins are plain to us. Some escape us. Some we cannot face. Forgive us. Set us free to hear your word to us. Set us free to serve you for the sake of the Christ who gave everything to reconcile us to God. Amen.
We who have lost our way are forgiven and found, and we who are lonely are brought into the fold and are told there's room for you here. From generation to generation, this is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are held, forgiven, found, and welcome. Thanks be to God.
Today's scripture passage comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. And in this story, Jesus heals a crippled woman. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is God's word for us today. Thanks be to God.
She had gotten used to looking at people out of the corner of her eye by looking up and sideways. After 18 years, she could hardly remember any other way of seeing the world. And on this particular Sabbath, there was special excitement at the synagogue where she went regularly to worship. A Galilean preacher and prophet, Jesus of Nazareth, had arrived in town and would be teaching there. She and the others had heard reports about Jesus, how he talked about God's reign arriving soon and how he healed people who were unwell. She was not sure how many of the rumors to believe, but she was trying not to get her hopes up. Her life had already had too many disappointments to count. When she entered the synagogue, the place was abuzz. As Jesus began to teach, however, the room was hushed. Moments later, his words turned from teaching to invitation. We don't know if she noticed Jesus, but we know he noticed her. He had caught her eye. It's no mean feat, given that he had to lean over and incline his head to do so. He put his sermon on hold and said, "Come here." She slowly makes her way to the front of the assembly, and Jesus says the things he always says when he encounters the sick, the broken, the dying, the dead. "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When this man, Jesus, speaks these words and puts his hand on her broken, bent body, she feels power surge through her. And without hesitation, she straightened her once crooked back. She stood up straight and began praising. The good news is the woman is healed. The bad news is the reaction to the healing. For when God freed the people from the rule of the Pharaoh, the people were led into the desert by Moses and Aaron. Life was still harsh, but better because the people were free. And Moses went up to the mountaintop, brought down rules for living in relationship with God. And one of them stated, "You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever." And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. We may and likely learned the fourth commandment as remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That would have been on the first tablet. On the surface, the complaint about Jesus' healing on the Sabbath is based on a faithful reading of the Torah, the law. The seventh day was set aside by God for Israel's rest, and work was prohibited. The people's relationship with God required strict adherence to the commandments. To accept less would diminish their relationship with God. Same for all the commandments, really. So keeping the Sabbath, of course, was one of the ways the Jews defined themselves and kept their identity over long centuries of living in exile, living as strangers in a strange land. There were no other peoples that had a weekly day of rest. So Sabbath was one important way to maintain Jewish identity. And by Jesus' time, the Sabbath law was interpreted differently. by different groups of the Jewish people. There was an ongoing debate amongst rabbis and other teachers of the law. What could you do and not do on the Sabbath, and what constituted work? Lighting a fire to cook? Taking your livestock out to pasture? It's worth noting that the synagogue leader in the gospel story today is not the strictest interpreter of the Sabbath law. By contrast, another Jewish sect ruled that on the Sabbath, one could not lift up an animal that had fallen into a pit. Moreover, if a person had fallen into a pit on the Sabbath, one could not use a rope, ladder, or any other instrument to help that person. You could use clothing to rescue a person who had fallen into a pit, perhaps because you didn't have to work to do so, like walk back to your dwelling to get a rope or a ladder and carry it back. Presumably, being in some sort of state of undress was not as problematic as walking too far or carrying something on the Sabbath. So yes, the leader of the synagogue is not the strictest interpreter of the Sabbath commandment. Nevertheless, he does consider healing on the Sabbath a violation of the law. It offends the order of service in the synagogue. He tells Jesus he's welcome to come and do his healing on the other 6 days of the week, but not on the Sabbath. And on the face of it, there's nothing wrong with the worship leader's goals or his interpretation of the Bible. What he doesn't get, what he just misses, is Jesus' brave, unrestricted compassion, a compassion that trumps legalism every time. And he's now dealing with Jesus, who sees the broken, bent body, the soul beaten down, before he sees the broken commandment. Jesus, who of all people knows the heart of God, calls him and his fellow leaders out. "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a bent over daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, should not this woman be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day then? What better way to bring freedom and healing than on the Sabbath?" Jesus' perspective of the Sabbath as a day for deliverance is vindicated by the joy of the crowds at his wonderful deeds. And Jesus has done more than free the woman. He has restored her to her community. For the first time in 18 years, she's able to stand tall and praise God, looking into the eyes on a face-to-face basis with other worshipers. To stand tall and worship God eye to eye with others for the first time in 18 years. And by straightening the woman so she could see her neighbors, Jesus grants the community a fuller vision of the woman. They now see her more fully. She is more than just a woman with an affliction. And with the woman's restoration comes the restoration of the community. The community experiences a new, expanded vision of what makes for authentic community and an authentic relationship with God. And so they rejoice, rightly so. Reverend Debbie Thomas serves as a minister for lifelong formation at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Palo Alto, California. She asks us to consider several questions about this morning's remarkable gospel lesson. She asks us to consider what kind of fruit our adherence to tradition bears. Does our version of holiness lead us to hospitality, to inclusion, to freedom for ourselves and others? Does our version of holiness cause our hearts to open wide with compassion? Does it lead the brokenhearted to feel loved and welcome at God's table? Does it make us pliant and flexible? Does it prime our hearts and minds for God, the God who is always doing something new? Debbie Thomas writes that the bottom line is Jesus is all about our unbending, our standing tall, our finding our voices, so that we can praise the God who facilitates and celebrates our freedom. May we, like Jesus, become unbenders as well, rooted in traditions that begin and end in love. Jesus' teachings are all about widening the circle of love, teachings that ask us to lead each other back to the highest possible version of ourselves, teachings that ask us to lead each other back to who we were created to be. It really is the most important choice we can make for each other. May it be so in this community, may it be so in this world. It sounds hard, but so is being born, and we all do that. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning, my friends. I begin, as always, with a quote. Today from Living Christian, the world starts changing when God's people start praying. So let's begin. God of autumn blessings, we gather in this season of shortening days and bright colors, thankful for the beauty of your creation. As leaves fall and fields yield their harvest, remind us of your faithfulness, that in every change you remain constant. And in every ending, you plant seeds of new beginnings. We pray for the world you so deeply love, for places where violence, war, and fear prevail. We ask for peace and for courage. For leaders and decision makers, we pray for wisdom rooted in compassion and justice. For the earth itself, weary from misuse, we ask for healing and renewal. We pray for our communities close at hand, for those who hunger or live without secure shelter, for those who struggle with illness in body, mind, or spirit, and for all who feel forgotten or alone. May they know that they are held in your love and lifted by our care. We give thanks for moments of joy, for children's laughter, for friendships that strengthen us, for the abundance of this harvest season, and for the small daily blessings that remind us of your goodness. We pray for the church, here and everywhere. Keep us open to your Spirit's leading. Help us to be a community of welcome, a voice for the voiceless, and a sign of hope in a weary world. And we hold before you now, O God, the silent prayers of our own hearts. Now let us all remember this quote from one of my favorite human beings, a lady who we lost this month, Jane Goodall. So let us move forward with faith in ourselves, in our intelligence, in our indomitable spirit. Let us develop respect for all living things. Let us try to replace violence and intolerance with understanding and compassion and love. All this we lift to you, trusting in your mercy and grace through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
All the gifts that we receive here of time, talent, or money, all work together to keep the ministries of this church going. And we thank you so much for your contributions. Would you pray with me over all the gifts given this week? Through these gifts, O God, may all heed the voice of justice, hear the call to compassion, embrace the way of sharing, and know solidarity with the loving Christ. Amen.
Lord, no test. voice like thine can be served. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
the God of yesterday and the God of tomorrow knows you by your name, loves you, and calls you forth, saying, go be the person you are called to be, love wildly, do justice, and come back soon. You are called, you are loved, you are enough. Amen.